This morning, I would like to begin by addressing the rich. And I'm sure some of you are already thinking, okay, well, I'm not rich. I can ignore this sermon. I don't need to listen to this one. You might be thinking, Pastor Dan, I am anything but rich. But the fact is, no matter how poor we may be within the context, the cultural context of our society today, from a biblical, historical perspective, we are rich. You think of the rich young ruler who refused to give up all of his wealth to follow Jesus. However, what was that wealth? No matter how much wealth he had, he could not own a car. He could not turn on a light switch. He could not watch TV. He couldn't video stream on a computer. He couldn't fly in an airplane. He couldn't video chat with a loved one over the cell phone. If he was rich, what are we? What am I? From a global perspective, we are rich. From the standpoint of material wealth, Americans have difficulty realizing how rich we truly are. Going through a little mental exercise suggested by Robert Heilbronner can help us to count our blessings. So I'm going to ask you to just imagine with me, please, think through this scenario that I'm going to be presenting to you this morning. And I think it will help you understand the daily life, what daily life is like for over a billion people today in our world. So first, in your imagination, I want you to take out all of the furniture in your home, except for one table and a couple of chairs and a few blankets or pads to use as beds. Take away all your clothing except your oldest dress or pants or shirt or blouse and leave only one pair of shoes. Empty the pantry and the refrigerator except for a small bag of flour, some sugar and salt, a few potatoes, some onions, and a dish of dry beans. Dismantle the bathroom, shut off the running water, and remove all electrical wiring from your house. Take away the house itself and move the family into a small tool shed. Place that small tool shed in the middle of a shanty town. Cancel all subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, and book clubs. This is no great loss since none of you can read anyway. Leave only one radio for the entire shantytown community. Move the nearest hospital or clinic 10 miles away and put a midwife in charge instead of doctors and nurses. Throw away your bank books, stock certificates, pension plans, and insurance policies. Leave the family a cash hoard of $10. Give the head of the family a few acres to cultivate on which he can raise a few hundred dollars a year worth of cash crops, of which one-third will go to the landlord and one-tenth to moneylenders. Lop off 25 years or more to your life expectancy. By comparison, how truly rich we are. The truth of the matter is that our human tendency is to try to provide security for ourselves and our family by accumulating wealth and possessions. We believe that the more we have, the more we save, the more we put aside, the more we provide them, the more secure our future and their future will be. So what are we really relying on? The question this morning is, where is your security? Now, people rely on many different things. It isn't just money. It isn't just materialism. The reason we're focusing on money this morning is because that is what the passage focuses on. But I want you this morning to ask yourself the question, in all honesty, where is my security? What am I truly relying on? Who or what am I trusting? Would you please stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18 as we look at verses 10 through 12. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, as we continue our series through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verses 10 through 12 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, asking your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you use these words that were written by Solomon for the benefit of his sons and for our benefit today. And we ask, Lord, that your truth would come alive in our lives, that we would truly understand what it means to trust you, what it means that you are our strong tower, what it means to put all of our reliance, all of our hope, all of our security in you and in you alone. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we begin looking at this passage this morning, we see in verse 10 that the righteous rely on God. The righteous rely on God. Let's go to verse 10 again and read that. Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." God is our strong tower. What significance does a strong tower have? When Solomon is writing to his original audience, his sons and others in his time, in his generation, what did it mean to them when Solomon spoke of a strong tower? A strong tower in those days was a place of safe refuge from the enemy. It was a place of safety, a place of protection from the weapons of war that the enemy brought against them. A strong tower provided a vantage point to see the enemy as it approached. A strong tower housed necessary food and supplies to withstand a lengthy siege. It was where we went to for the resources that we needed to be able to sustain ourselves. A strong tower was the best and the last hope of survival against an enemy attack. Everybody in those days understood when the enemy approaches, everybody goes to the strong tower. Because only in that strong tower do we have a hope of survival. Only in that strong tower can we trust that we can survive? When people in the ancient times needed security, they ran to their strong tower. A strong tower was something that all of them knew in the recesses of their mind that was there for the sole purpose of providing protection and security for the people. A strong tower would be the equivalent of, during those of you who grew up during the Cold War, a bomb shelter, right? Many places had bomb shelters. I would say today it's probably more the equivalent of a doomsday shelter. Any preppers here? Preppers know what a doomsday shelter is, right? It's a place that's secure, a place that maybe no one else knows about, a place where we have supplies stored, we have water, we have food, we have medicine. We have those things that if the whole world collapses, if everything goes wrong and society is in disarray, I can go there for security. When everything is caving in around you, your strong tower is where you turn to. But Solomon tells his sons as he writes this letter to them, this letter of wisdom, he instructs them to call on the name of the Lord. He instructs them in time of difficulty, in time of calamity, in all times, in all moments of their lives, to seek their security in God. See, God had taught Israel to seek him for protection. God had taught Israel to seek him for deliverance, to seek him for salvation. Where do we see that? Joel chapter 2, verse 32 says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant who the Lord calls." See, the reality is that God is all of the protection that we need. He is more powerful than anything that can come against us. He promises to not only provide for us, but he promises to give us strength. He promises to give us courage. He promises to protect us from those who may come against us. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." No weapon or force or enemy exists that can penetrate the protection of God. Nothing can defeat us when we run to our strong tower, because our strong tower not only created everything, but he is over everything. And our strong tower will not allow anything to happen to us that is not already his will. Isaiah 54, 17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, ye shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is for me, says the Lord." So the question that arises when we speak of our strong tower, the question that arises when we speak of God's protection for his children, is, what about when it appears that the enemy wins? What about when it appears that the enemies are victorious? They are able to hurt us. They are able to accomplish their goals. I don't intend to become political this morning, but the timing of the events that happened this week forced me to talk about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Maybe not everybody here has the same opinion of Charlie. Yes, Charlie was a political commentator. He did speak on political issues of our time in our society today. But first and foremost, when you go back and hear what Charlie had to say, I believe he was a Christian apologist. Yes, he dealt with a lot of political things, but in everything, what he spoke on, what he stood by, what he defended, was always based on his knowledge of Scripture. Just 2 months ago, he was interviewed. And the interviewer asked Charlie, if this would all end, what would you want to be remembered by? And Charlie said, you mean if I was dead 2 months ago? And the interviewer said, yes, if you were dead and this all ended, what would you want to be remembered for? And without hesitation, Charlie said, the main thing that I want to be remembered for is defending my faith. One minute before he was assassinated, Charlie was sharing his personal testimony of how he came to Christ and speaking about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He spoke openly about his faith. In every answer, he always found a way to come back to Jesus Christ and to God's Word. So I have no doubt that Charlie was a believer. So did the assassin win? Was the assassin victorious? Where was the strong tower? Where was his protector? Where was his protection? Did he put his faith in the wrong place? And I am sure there are many people that are asking that question today. Let me answer that with this quote. All death can do to the believer is deliver him to Jesus. Charlie knew the risk. All of us who speak openly and publicly about Christ and Scripture and moral values and that sometimes go against what our culture and society teaches and believes, understand the risk. But see, all that assassin did was deliver Charlie into the hands of his strong tower. And I can guarantee you that even though Charlie's family will miss him, and many of us will miss him, given the choice, I am sure he would not choose to leave his strong tower and come back here. So even when it appears that the enemy has defeated us, even when it appears that our strong tower has abandoned us, as a believer, death is nothing but victory. All death can do is deliver us into the hands of Jesus. All death can do is deliver us into our strong tower. And for a Christian, that's victory. I pray for this young man, and I hope you are too. I pray for his family. And I pray that others would be willing to stand up for their faith, that others would be willing to trust their strong tower and to speak boldly as Charlie did. Is God truly your strong tower this morning? Are you really relying on Him completely, or are you looking elsewhere for your security? See, because verse 11 tells us that the rich tend to rely on their possessions and their achievement. Let's go to verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. See, our sinful nature desires self-sufficiency. We want to be self-sufficient. We don't want to have to rely or depend on anybody, do we? It's the American way, right? To be self-sufficient. To have enough money. To have enough things. To have a big nest egg. The Bible does not condemn careful planning. The Bible does not condemn investing. The Bible does not condemn saving for retirement or for a rainy day. That's not what this passage or any other passage in Scripture or what I am saying this morning. Scripture encourages those things. But when our nest egg becomes our strong tower, and when we are relying on our bank account and our possessions instead of relying on God, then we do have a problem. When God prompts you to give generously, but you ignore His prompt and continue to hoard His financial blessings, then it's a problem. What would happen if all of your wealth suddenly vanished? Gone in an instant. Would that strengthen your faith, or would it break your faith? See, the answer to that will quickly tell you who your strong tower is. If losing everything you have would break your faith, then your strong tower isn't the Lord. Your strong tower is your possessions. Though material wealth may not be wrong, it has a tendency to make us less dependent on God. This is why those who must rely on God for their very survival often have the greatest faith and closest walk with God. My experience in the Dominican Republic, those that were the poorest, those that literally did not know what they were going to eat the next day, they had a faith that would put all of us to shame. I've seen that in the Dominican Republic. I've seen that in Kenya. I've seen it all over the world. I believe prosperity has weakened the faith of the American church. We've had it too easy for far too long. And I'm not complaining, but the reality is most of us can get by pretty well without having to depend on God on a daily basis. Unless we get sick or a loved one gets sick or some type of difficult situation comes into our lives, we don't have to rely on God. We can get by just fine without Him. And And if that's the way we live, then who really is our strong tower? It's not God. He's not the one we're relying on. He's not the one that we're depending on. It's that bank account. It's that job. It's whatever else we have built around us, that wall that we have built around us that we think is high enough to protect us from problems and trials. James T. Draper, Jr., president of Lifeway Christian Resources, has revealed that the Chinese church, house church movement is praying that American Christians might experience the kind of persecution they have seen in China so that it would ignite a similar revival in America. Think about that. See, our prosperity has allowed us to go about our daily lives without even thinking about our strong tower on most days. So maybe when we experience tragedies like the one that we just experienced this week, maybe God allows those tragedies to wake us up as Christians and remind us that we need to go to our strong tower. This is why Jesus warned his disciples about the dangers of materialism in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Boy, is that anti-cultural in this country, is it not? Here, your possessions define you. That's why so many people want to keep up with the Joneses. You want to make sure that you live in the nicest neighborhood possible and that your house is the nicest one in that neighborhood, that you drive the nicest car, that you have the best clothes. See, in our culture, in our society, materialism does define us. But as believers, it shouldn't. See, why? Because wealth is a false security. Let's go back and read verse 11 again. "The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem." Notice verse 11 says that wealth is like a high wall to the rich in his own esteem. The rich man falsely believes that he has built his wall high enough and strong enough that he is ready to face whatever challenges may lead ahead. I have built my wall. I have built my protection. And no matter what happens, I'm good. And there are many that believe that. He is proud of his financial accomplishments and believes that he has done enough to protect himself and his family from calamity. You may think your wealth is secure and will protect you from calamity, but God can take it away just as easily as he provided it to you. If you don't believe that, listen to Job and what he had to say when everything was taken away from him. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, Job said, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How many of us could respond that way? How many of us could respond not only to all of our possessions and our belongings being destroyed, but our children and our health taken away? How many of us would respond with, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Job was somebody that understood who his strong tower was. And in this moment of suffering, even when his friends were telling him to turn his back on God, and even his wife encouraging him to curse God, what did Job do? He went to his strong tower. We have seen two groups of people relying on two different sources for security. The righteous rely on God. The rich rely on wealth. However, only one of these offers true security. Let's look at verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Relying on your own achievements will lead to failure. When arrogant individuals think that they can build a strong enough or high enough wall, that their financial accumulation, all of the goods that they have will provide security for themselves and their family. Verse 12 says that that mentality will lead to destruction. Proverbs 11:28 says, "He who trusts in his riches will fail, but the righteous will flourish like the foliage." This doesn't necessarily mean that the individual will experience financial ruin, because I have seen many wicked people who have great wealth, and they still have the wealth when they leave this world. However, when your priorities are so messed up that all you care about is money, that all you care about is accumulating wealth, that all you care about is materialism and building financial security, you tend to neglect other basic aspects of your life, which leads to failure in other areas. And one of the big ones is marriage and family and relationships with others, relationship with God. See, when our focus is incorrect, when our focus is on materialism and possessions and money instead of God as our strong tower and our relationship with Him and our relationship with others, you may still be a wealthy person, but I can guarantee you that there will be other aspects of your life that will be a complete failure. But fully relying on God will bring honor. And that leads us again to the last part of verse 12. Let's read the whole verse again. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. When we are humble enough to recognize our inability to provide true security for ourselves and our loved ones apart from God, verse 12 tells us that honor will follow. When I recognize I cannot have enough, I cannot build a wall high enough, there is nothing that I can do to provide complete security for myself, my loved ones, my family, for this church. When I recognize that, and I humbly submit to God and say, God, only you can protect us. And I trust you for my security, for their security, for our security. When we have that humility, then it says honor will come. When we are humble enough to fully rely on God, He promises to guide and direct us, to guide our path, to guide our churches, our choices, to guide our decisions. Psalm 25. For some reason, the remote isn't working. Can you click it one more, please? There we go. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. When we are humble enough to rely on Him, He promises to guide us. He promises to direct us. So this morning, each of us has a choice to make. Trust in our ability to provide security for ourselves and our family, or fully rely on God and run to Him as our strong tower. Which option will you choose this morning? Two weeks in a row, I'm going to do something that I don't do very often, only as the Holy Spirit leads, and partly the Holy Spirit and partly a word from my daughter yesterday, a recommendation that she made. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to come forward for two reasons. One, if you recognize that you have been trusting the wrong thing for your security. Maybe it's wealth, maybe it's money, maybe it's something else. But if you recognize this morning that you need to go to your strong tower, that you need to stop trusting other things and trust Him, rely on Him, and be humble enough to recognize, I can't do this on my own. I need to go to my strong tower for protection, for resources, for help, for strength. I encourage you to come up here this morning and kneel or stand. The second invitation is this. What happened this week has shocked our country, has shocked our world. And if there is any time where we as Christians need to respond in love and in prayer, it's right now. So I'm going to encourage you right now, if you're willing to take a stand and say, I am done relying on myself. I am done relying on other things. I am done relying on money and possessions and my job, whatever it may be, and I am ready to place my trust completely on the strong tower. And if you're willing to say, right now, I want to pray for my country. I want to pray for the division, the political division, the cultural division, all of the division that's going on in our country right now. Pray for the families involved. Pray for Charlie Kirk's family. Pray for the family of this young man that committed this atrocity. Our country needs prayer. We need prayer. So would you come up here, please, and join me as we pray? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You broken. We come before You recognizing that we need our strong tower. Lord, give us the humility to recognize that we can't do it on our own. That no matter how big our bank account may get, it'll never be enough. No matter how many possessions we have and we accumulate, it'll never be enough. No matter how good the job You've given us is, it'll never be enough. Lord, whatever it is that we are trusting, whatever it is that we have placed our hope in, Lord, I pray this morning that You would help us to go to You as our strong tower. Thank You for those this morning that are willing to stand and are willing to acknowledge that we need You, that we need our strong tower. And right now, Lord, it isn't just us. It isn't just this church. It's our country. It's our world. We're being divided. We're being torn apart. Lord, what happened this week should never happen. And it doesn't matter what side of the political aisle we are on, Lord, help us to realize that we need to come to you and that we need to pray to you. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for Charlie Kirk's family. We pray for this young man and his family. Lord, if they do not know you, that through this experience they would come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. Lord, we come to our strong tower this morning, placing ourselves, placing our church, and placing our nation, and placing this world under your protection, and asking you to bring about revival, that you would use this tragedy to open people's hearts that have been stone cold, that they would be willing to hear the message of the gospel today like never before. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.